Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Outdoor adventure sports, those that push participants to their absolute limit, continue to rise in popularity worldwide as more and more athletes seek the thrill and adrenaline rush that comes with meeting those incredible challenges. In the past, thrill seekers in north central Wisconsin would be forced to travel many miles to find extreme sports venues and events. But members of a nonprofit organization think Wausau area has everything it takes to become the next extreme sports destination. An award-winning ski hill, amazing mountain biking trails, a world-class kayak course, and more. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Today, we delve into the world of extreme outdoor adventure sports, one of the fastest growing drivers of both leisure and tourism travel today. And we'll learn why Wausau is quickly earning a reputation as a mecca for thrill-seeking, adrenaline-pumping outdoor sports enthusiasts. Joining us today are two representatives from Iron Bull, a nonprofit organization that seeks to drive economic development and cultivate a talented local workforce by producing high-quality adventure sporting events and promoting a healthy lifestyle. Iron Bull's Executive Director, Andrea Larson, is here today. Andrea, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Also with us today is Bill Bertram. He is Vice President of Iron Bull and Float Event Director for the organization. Bill is also the President of the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation and is on the board of the Marathon County Historical Society. Bill, welcome to Route 51.
Well, thanks for having me today.
We want to hear from you, too. Email us at route51@wpr.org or join the conversation by calling us at 800-780-9742. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. Andrea, let's start with you. So tell us about yourself. Where are you from and what drew you to adventure racing?
So I grew up right here in central Wisconsin in the town of Marathon, about 15 miles away from where I live today. And I've always been into outdoor recreation. I have done many of the events here in the Wausau area, including the Wausau 24, Badger State Games, the Woodson YMCA Triathlon. And when I found out that a nonprofit was being started to promote outdoor recreation, I saw that this was a great opportunity for our community and wanted to be a part of it. I was a professional certified chemical engineer and said that this is too important of an opportunity for our community to pass up and be a part of. So I've been thrilled to be a part of this organization.
Bill, what about you? How did you get involved in this adventure, really?
Yeah, you know, my background's quite a bit different than Andrea's in that I don't have a background in outdoor rec. I was a business executive here in Wausau for 14 years, had the opportunity with the parent company to move to Europe. While in Europe, I saw a different business model where government, the university systems and businesses collaborated and moved in unison to solve problems. I retired in 16, came back, actually looking to devote my last quarter of my business life to civics, and was looking for a way for economic development and talent retention, and then stumble upon outdoor rec as a means to an end.
And how did the two of you connect? Andrea, how did you connect with Bill? Did you guys know each other beforehand or okay?
Not at all. So we only know each other through Iron Bull, and it's been a great opportunity to get to be under Bill's mentorship.
Now, Bill, you're very connected in the community, very active with roles with the Parks Foundation and the Historical Society. When did you take a look at the geographic features of the area and say, hey, we've got an opportunity here to do something really special?
Yeah, you know, I'm an engineer like Andrea, electrical, but a really nerdy researcher. And the idea for me with Iron Bull actually came out of the Park Foundation as a fundraiser. It was a single event. And then by accident, as I started to do research, I came across a Brookings Institute study and a Pew study and a Forbes article on millennials being attracted to outdoor rec. And it was a perfect correlation of how to attract people to a community. And then I overlaid that with the physical features that we have in central Wisconsin, the ski hill, the kayaking, the off-road biking, and it was a perfect correlation. And from that, that was really the start in my head of saying, hey, we could actually leverage this as a means to attract and hold on to talent.
And what about the non-geographical features about Wausau that make it attractive? Is it the nightlife, the arts? I mean, what makes it good for a full experience for the athletes who come here?
Yeah, I'll jump in on from my two cents, and then Andrea can add some color to it. One is the advantage we have is logistically. We're really close to the Chicagoland area, Milwaukee and Madison, with those physical features. And it's actually easier to drive here from Minneapolis-St. Paul than it is to drive up to some of their sports venues in northern Minnesota. So it was the logistically that is, you know, was an attribute we have that a lot of cities don't have. And then it's the really the size of the town. Is and the downtown is it's an incredibly livable city for people to come here and to enjoy.
And so I know the organization has multiple goals, and I will definitely be asking you about the economic implications that you've touched on here. But first, I'd like to hear a little bit about extreme sports. Andrea, what are we talking about here? Ultramarathons? What defines an extreme outdoor sport?
So we have a variety of areas. And what I'll also say that extreme can be something that is an endurance, what we define as an endurance sport that, you know, you have to put some work in to be able to take part in. And so this would include anything from trail running to biking, which we've done gravel biking as one of our events. We've had adventure races, which is actually multidisciplinary and actually a team event that you are doing running, bushwhacking, trekking, paddling, and biking on and off road. And we also have had some free paddle events. And it's what we want to use the outdoor recreation facilities to promote outdoor rec.
And let's circle back to the venues that provide the backdrop for these events. So Granite Peak, obviously, which has a rich history in this community, and the kayak course must be a big draw. But are there venues outside of Wausau as well that you've been using or you could use, Bill?
Yeah, you know, we're real fortunate as a mountain biking community with the properties that Seawalk has developed. 9 Mile is probably the premier property, maybe in the state, both for snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, as well as mountain biking. And then you have the facilities at Ringgold. And I was actually on the Park Foundation when we discussed Sylvan Hill and the development of Sylvan Hill as a downhill single track. And again, it's you have to go to northern Wisconsin to find anything comparable to what we have for mountain biking. And then when you couple that with the Ice Age Trail to north and to the east of the city for long hikes, it is some of the best hiking and running tracks, I think, in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, you wanted to add something to that?
Absolutely. And what's unique about Wausau is you can almost do a lot of these activities from your back door. And you don't have to have a long car ride to get to some of these great opportunities, whether it's going for a hike or a run or snowshoe at Rib Mountain State Park, going to 9 Mile, going to the Ringgold Trails, going up to even the Underdown or Big Old Plain County Park. And then also, you know, I think what the pandemic really highlighted is it's not hard to be able to have the trails all to yourself. Just a couple weeks ago, I was hiking at Red Mountain State Park and only car in the lot. I have been to on some paved trails just this week and I saw one other person out there. And even in the middle of the summer, when 9 Mile is very popular, I went in the evening and actually was the last person at that trailhead. So it's, we really have some great gems, but also they're not overused either.
Sure, Bill.
Yeah, you know, one of the data points we looked at for attraction and for millennials is that they typically want to be within 15 minutes of a trailhead so that they can get off work and then hop right out the door and either be running or biking. And that's something that the Wausau area can offer that few communities can.
So, Andrea, tell us about the main events that Iron Bull has had so far. I know you've had the grinder, the red granite grinder. Explain which events that you've held already.
So we are a new organization that started up just before the pandemic. So we've had to kind of rework how last summer looked like. But last summer, we were able to hold two events in October, one being the Red Granite Grinder that we actually doubled in participation in our second year of the event. And we also held last October with some great race directors that bent over backwards to be able to hold event is our Ultra Trail race. Because with the pandemic, there were permitting issues, and we actually had six generous landowners that let us have a course completely on private property. We have also, this year, been able to hold a new event, the inaugural Rib Mountain Adventure Challenge Winter Edition, which we were floored at the number of people that came to do the event. We held it on the historical coldest day of the year, end of January. And it was the coldest morning so far that year. And we had over 170 racers show up from age 2 to age 70.
Wow.
A number of kids. I saw a 5-year-old girl out there with her family. And yeah, it's just awesome to see all the people that want to do it. And that one consisted of a team event. And last year, with the pandemic, we ended up having to cancel some events, and we put on a lot of free on-your-own courses, and those included paddling, biking, running courses, and it was amazing to see how many people hadn't been to some of those venues. We had a marked course at Edgar at Scotch Creek Preserve in Edgar, and we had 71% of the people that went and did that course. It was our first time ever there, so they didn't know about this great opportunity. And we held a total of I think like 8 free events last summer that people could do, and we plan on doing a few more this year with the pandemic continuing.
So you want ultimately for Wausau to become an extreme sports capital of the U.S. Is that realistic? And how will you persuade athletes who are used to larger, better known venues to come here to Wausau?
Well, we have some great outdoor recreation opportunities, so we need to continue showcasing them. We need to build them up as we have been doing and just let the events demonstrate that we can have some awesome races for people.
You're listening to Andrea Larson and Bill Bertram, our guests today on Route 51. They're sharing their vision for Iron Bull, the adventure sports organization that is transforming the community in a multitude of ways. When we return, we'll hear more about why this organization believes adventure sports could fuel the regional economy and bring jobs and talent to central Wisconsin. Join us by calling 800-780-9742. You can also email questions to route51@wpr.org. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. I'm Shireen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Bill Bertram and Andrea Larson from Iron Bull are here discussing their vision to promote healthy living in central Wisconsin while fueling the local economy. We'd like to hear from you, too. Email us at route51@wpr.org or join us by phone. The number to call is 800-780-9742. I'm curious if you envision future sports coverage of these events on a national scale, like what we see with the X Games, for example, or other competitions. What would it take to televise these things? Is that something that's on your radar, Bill?
It's, you know, how you build up these events is the more challenging the event, you get greater participation. We typically draw from a six-state area today for our events. And hopefully, as the events continue to grow and we build up that kind of word of mouth of, you know, who and what we are for Iron Bull and the quality of our events, and it is absolutely critical to have high-quality events. Yeah, we think that, you know, gives us an opportunity to reach out to media to see if they would advertise or partner with us. Absolutely.
Andrea, you mentioned that you had some really great numbers at your last event, despite the cold and quite the range of ages. But how many people generally are participating in these events, and where are they coming from? Are they coming from all across the country or just the Midwest?
Right now, being a newer organization, we're drawing primarily from the Midwest. For both the Ultra and the Grinder, we were able to pull several races from the five-state area for those particular races. It's been a little bit challenging with COVID. I think we may have pulled more people, but with traveling being ill-advised in some situations, I think, you know, a lot of people are a little bit leery of traveling to do an event. And so I'm really excited to see a year from now, we're positioned very well to be able to continue growing. And I found that word of mouth and being able to prove that we can put a high-quality event on and really showcase these venues that a lot of people are really surprised to see once they come here and partake in the event of what there is to offer.
And you want these events to be the largest of their kind, not just in Wisconsin, but the entire Midwest. Do you have a sense as to the economic impact this has had on Marathon County so far?
Yes. So we did pull our racers from the Red Granite Grinder that we held this October. Of the people that responded to our post-race anonymous survey, their average spend was $232. But they said that many of them commented that they would be spending more, staying longer, and bringing more people if the pandemic weren't existing. So we were able to have over 200 people register and double in our second year of the event during the middle of the pandemic. So it's really exciting to see what our growth can be in the future.
Bill, you mentioned you've got this larger vision that by creating this perfect scenario for extreme sports, you'll draw a larger population of young professionals to the area. Tell us a little bit about that. How will that work?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, there is this correlation with millennials and I think Gen Zers to participate in outdoor rec sports. There's a lot of the traditional sports are in trouble with the declining participation, tennis, football, golf with millennials. At the same time, when we look at the data, adventure racing is one of the fastest growing segments of outdoor rec. We actually, in conjunction with Rib Mountain Adventure Challenge, hold the largest attended adventure race in the United States here in Wausau. We're fortunate to have Tim Buchholz be president of Iron Bull and bring that knowledge. So it's again, the relationships we've had with the corporations in the area and the foundations have been just stellar in terms of supporting us. And I believe they use it as a recruiting tool. And I know the Chamber of Commerce does. And if you go to their site, between Andrea and Tim, they're the poster girls and boys that they have on the site for attracting young people to Wausau.
And Andrea, you mentioned that you do some post-race polling of people who have participated. Are you hearing anything from those people that might suggest they would have genuine interest in relocating here?
So I haven't asked that specific question, and we have been mainly polling from the Midwest, but I have heard a lot of comments of they were surprised to see what there was to offer. So particularly for the gravel bike race, they couldn't believe the amount of great gravel roads there were for riding. Other people had said at the finish they couldn't believe the amount of hills in that particular event. And then for, you know, our running races or, you know, with our waterways, people are just surprised to see what's here. But I think right now the focus has been more locally, and to demonstrate that there's a lot here to offer that even locals don't know about. I mean, we had a free event in downtown Wausau this summer with a paddle, and 79% of these people had never paddled downtown Wausau before. And so it's just amazing all the people that live here, drive by it every day, and don't realize what there is to offer. So if we don't even know about it here, certainly people outside the area don't know about it either. So this is our opportunity to let not only Wausau know, but the whole Midwest know what there is, all these great things here.
What about, Bill, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, let me, the Office of Outdoor Rec for the state of Wisconsin and the Department of Tourism have been incredibly supportive of us. The outdoor rec component of tourism within the state grows at about 12% a year compared to the general overall growth in the state of around 7%. So there's this huge focus today with the state of Wisconsin, particularly in one of the great untapped markets in the country is Chicagoland, to bring people from the I-88 corridor to central Wisconsin and to Wisconsin's outdoor rec. So we believe this will continue to build for us to be that magnet or mecca that the Chamber of Commerce and others had envisioned. So,
is the affordability factor something that you consider too when you're trying to get people to come here? I think about places like Bend or Salt Lake City where my son lives, and the cost of living is much higher than it is here. Is that part of the draw?
Yeah, absolutely. Great comparison has really been Oregon. Back in the 90s, both Wausau and Bend were the size of the cities were relatively the same. They had a catastrophic event in the spotted brown owl that dried up their forest industry and pulp industry. And like Wausau, Bend is mushrooms and forest products. We're dairy and forest products. And they invested heavy and made the gamble back in the 90s on outdoor rec. And it is considered to be maybe the original epicenter for outdoor rec in the U.S. And there's no reason from a Midwest perspective or Mid-America perspective, we couldn't be that that same outdoor rec epicenter.
Andrea, before your first event, you and I spoke at length about your plans. And one of the things I thought was so impressive is how you worked to create this whole experience for the athletes who come here. It's not just the race, but there's other things that are going on. Can you talk about that a little bit and what kinds of things you offer, like the going to the Y and giving them other opportunities to enjoy themselves both before and after the race?
Absolutely. So we do have these great outdoor recreation opportunities, but we also have so many other great things in Wausau. So the more we can work with businesses or other townships to be able to promote and get people not just to come for the race and leave, but be able to stay, is just a win-win for the whole community.
Bill, do you see opportunities for partnerships and other neighboring communities, perhaps, throughout North Central Wisconsin as you grow? Wausau has a lot to offer, but there's some great stuff in Stevens Point and in the Northwoods, for example. Do you think this is something that you might expand or that maybe other communities could learn from?
Yeah, absolutely. Earlier this week, I was at Portage County meeting with their Parks Department. They actually had knew who Iron Bowl was. I was there for a different reason in terms of creation of a water trail, which also helps with outdoor rec. But yeah, we've had you know, great conversations with Lincoln County north of us. We actually look at this as central Wisconsin. North of us, you've got the Underdown and Harrison Hills for biking and outdoor rec, and a lot more water. And the same thing for Portage County. Yeah, so we look at this as a kind of opportunity. And one of our partners is the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and they've been there from day one. And, you know, great partner for us in terms of leveraging that with students. So absolutely.
Andrea, as part of its mission, Iron Bowl is also seeking to support other organizations that have some common goals and values. So what organizations are you working with so far in the event planning?
Yes. So we have a number of organizations that are represented on our board, and they have been represented from day one. So that includes like the Wausau Whitewater, the Seawalk, which is Central Wisconsin Off-Road Cycling Coalition, and as well as we've had the Y involved with as well, and even the Parks Foundation. And so it's great to be able to come together, because right now we have some awesome organizations, but they're very fragmented in that if you aren't in that group and have connections, you may not know about all these outdoor recreation opportunities. A great example is over in Ringgold, you have the Ice Age Trail, you have the Mountain Bay Trail, and some awesome mountain bike trails all from the same trailhead you can access, but unless you're from the area, you probably don't know that.
Right, absolutely. Bill, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, and you know, just as an example, we're at square one with a collaborative effort with The Landing for 55 and older, where we would provide hikes and walks and events on a year-round basis, from snowshoeing to cross-country skiing. And so we're really excited about that too, for you know, the active older adults that want to do something a little bit different.
You mentioned that you've had conversations with foundations and other key people in the community. You're a nonprofit organization, so how has the buy-in been? Are you getting the support that you need to really make this thing work, Bill?
Yeah, you know, we were funded by five foundations initially, and they saw the merits of using outdoor rec as a means to hold on to what we have and not lose it in terms of talent, as well as recruiting. We were really fortunate too. You know, we had this vision early on, and then independent of us, the chamber had hired a consultant from Bend, Oregon called Tip Strategies. And Tip came into Wausau in central Wisconsin, and they were looking for what they called the fourth leg of the stool. They couldn't find it until they had an outdoor rec meeting and realized, you know, that there was this huge pinned up opportunity and demand for outdoor rec. And so they mentioned Iron Bowl specifically on their 10-year master plan. So, yeah, we've had really good support. Our office is located within the chamber, and we can't say enough for both the chamber and the greater Wausau Prosperity Partners and how they've supported us.
Andrea, I'm curious how you decide which events to hold and how do you put these things together? They're complicated.
Absolutely. So it comes down to people. So when we have someone that is willing to champion an event and has a passion for it, we are so fortunate to have so many great volunteers and race directors. Also, you know, we do create events that I like to think that don't currently exist here. We brought the first ultra marathon to Wausau, first time bikes were ever allowed at Red Mountain State Park, as well as several other areas, and only winter adventure race in the state of Wisconsin currently. So I see that we're putting on events that no one else is currently doing, but they take a little bit more effort and work as far as permitting goes and so on and so forth. So we have some fantastic volunteers. We've had very generous private landowners that have allowed us, especially with the pandemic, being able to hold courses on their private property. So it just comes down to the people in the Wausau community.
And what are some of the challenges that you faced when you were first starting out? There must have been quite a few. How did you address that?
Absolutely. So that same answer will go coming down back to the great people here. So I'll say personally, I was new to the race organizing side, and actually all our race directors for our first couple events were as well. But being able to work as a team and try to make sure that we don't have any loose ends on organizing our first events together. And now obviously having a few under our belt, we're more and more competent as race organizers, and being able to make tweaks to the race courses or the events themselves, find out that maybe something that we thought might be a desire for racers maybe wasn't as desirable, or the weather, is a factor that we have to consider. So it's learning from past events, getting that feedback from the racers and volunteers, and implementing that.
You're listening to Andrea Larson and Bill Bertram of Iron Bull. They are our guests today on Route 51, sharing their vision for making Wausau a destination for extreme outdoor adventure sports enthusiasts. We'd like to hear your thoughts, too. Join us by calling 800-780-9742. You can also email questions to route51@wpr.org. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. I'm Shireen Seward, and this is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shireen Seward. Andrea Larson is here, along with Bill Bertram, both part of the team at Iron Bull in Wausau, an organization bringing extreme outdoor adventure sports to central Wisconsin. We'd like to hear from you, too. Email us at route51@wpr.org or join us by phone. The number to call is 800-780-9742. So, Bill, Iron Bull was up and running already, and then COVID hit. How did you pivot? How did you manage that? Thinking, okay, now we've got a pandemic. What are we going to do next?
Well, it was really to give credit to Andrea. She was the one that pivoted and came up with a series of ideas in terms of what she calls pop-up races and pop-up events. And on that note, I'll turn it over to her on that pivot.
Yeah. So I alluded to this before. Putting up the free mark courses throughout the community, where we really were able to introduce people to new places and new sports. And so we did a variety of events. Kicked off with kind of a trial event at 9 Mile that people could do, and it really was popular. Really have to thank all the parks departments, particularly the Wausau and Marathon County Parks, Forestry, and Recreation Department for being able to work with us. Luckily, even in the pandemic, probably one of the safest things you can do is be outside. And so we were able to still figure out how to do something. And that just kind of led to a series of outdoor activities. We had an event in Athens, an Edgar on the waterways, a gravel bike ride, where 2/3 of the people had never done a gravel bike event. And these were all free that were open to the community. And I'm sure a lot more people did them than what we asked people to register, but certainly they could still go out and do them because they were out there for anybody to do. And it was great to see all ages and hear the stories of people. And then going into October, we saw that other events were happening and we wanted to try to make the events happen, and read a lot of information about best practices and implemented it. And, our January event, the proof is in the pudding. Every single volunteer and racer that completed the anonymous post-event survey said they felt safe at the event. And so that was just awesome to see. And every single one of them would recommend the race to others, they said. So it's just great to see that we were able to be able to hold an event that people thought was safe. And the volunteers very much complimented the racers and said they could not believe how gracious, polite, and kind the racers were to be out there to the volunteers. So it just says that there's a need to still have events despite the pandemic, and you have to figure out how to adapt and pivot.
Bill, I mean, we're talking about these events are so challenging. A 50K race, I mean, that is mind-boggling to many of us. Bill, I'm curious, what do you think it is about those kinds of extreme challenges that draw people in? That is, what is so alluring about I'm gonna complete a 50K race? That what motivates people?
Yeah, it really comes down to the individual or teams on a lot of these races. One of the neat spots to be in is the type of races we hold, because you can have the extreme portion for the elite athletes to come in and participate, and at the same time, you can have most of our races have a challenging portion, but for the weekend warriors at the same time. And so, you come as a weekend warrior on a 15K and you say, hey, I can do this. And in fact, I had an anecdotal story this past fall on the Ultra. There was a woman from Madison that won it and then won the overall, both men and women. But she said, I couldn't believe there were 7,000 feet of elevation in any place in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And when I saw that and you guys published that, she said, I thought that was, that's impossible. And, mm-hmm. and she said, this is probably the toughest race I've ever raced. And she was an Ironman. And so we attract the elites at the high end, but I think we're trying to broaden the base to make this family events, kids events, to get everybody outdoors in this outdoor rec space, because it's a family that a person will come here, have a family, but want to leverage everything that we have here locally, including the races.
Andrea, you've been an athlete for a long time. Take me to the starting line with you. You're in your gear. You've got this huge challenge in front of you. The weather might be an issue. It's cold. It's snowing. It's raining. You've got miles to go. What goes through your mind as you're waiting for that signal to go?
So as a racer, it's all the time and hard work that I put in to get there. And so something that I take away as I'm training is, even if I don't have the race that I want to on race day, those moments during training where you do more hill repeats or do more miles or do something you never thought you would ever do, that's really the victory and where you can really rest on later and say you accomplished something even without getting even to the starting line. You did something just to get there. And that's the first step, is making that commitment to even be there and then putting in the work to do it. And then once race day comes, to be able to say, I did the work I need to do to get to the finish line, and I'm going to do everything in my power. Now, there are things that are outside your control, like you said, weather, but you have to realize that that's part of the challenge. And do you want to, give yourself an excuse, or do you want to move forward? And I think for me, that's the reason that I've never not finished a race.
How do you get yourself to keep going when you feel like you can't go any longer?
Even though it may sound like a cliche, it's literally one step at a time. And you can't let yourself be, let the task seem to overpower you. You have to break it down and say, I can do this.
What does it feel like when you cross the finish line?
Tired. I mean, like, adventure racing is awesome because you're with teammates, and so you get to enjoy that moment with teammates. The last race I did, I went and drove 20 some hours each way and was by myself. There it's a personal accomplishment, and you have the drive and to be able to get there, but it's not just race day. It's living that healthy lifestyle. For me, as a mother of three, being able to demonstrate to my children that even though today it was below zero outside, we can still go outside and, obviously dress appropriately, but we can still do things and live a healthy lifestyle, even if we're in a frigid Wisconsin winter, and not let those excuses hinder us.
Bill, what do you think people learn about themselves when they go through these intense challenges?
Yeah, I'd have to read same comments that Andrea has made. I think it's this idea of one of our board members came up with this comment of find your tough, whatever that tough is for an individual. If you're in your 60s or 70s, or if you're 19 or 20 years old, that idea of what tough is for you is different for everybody. And I think that's what's the attraction for outdoor off-road type events today. It's this finding that tough, whatever it might be. And we've had some incredible inspirational stories and athletes participate in our races. And one of their first races, there was a woman that raced. It was her very first race. And she came in hours after the race closed. And her dad was there waiting for her. And she staggered across. This year, she came back and then has asked to say, hey, can I be a race director going forward? And I want to be part of this. So I think it's the not just the mental toughness, it's not and the physical toughness. It's whatever that means to you as an individual. And I think it does build strength in not just character, but today, I mean, it's strength in, it carries over into your job and other aspects of your life. So,
and Andrea, as an athlete, is it more about winning or is it more about the challenge to yourself personally?
For me, it's both, because I am blessed with the God-given talent to be able to potentially win races. So for me to be able to push it and challenge myself, that usually is a podium. But for many people, they don't have that natural talent. And so it's just amazing to see the stories of people. I mean, I've talked to our racers. Some have lost over 100 pounds. Another one was on his deathbed in his 20s, I believe, with infection, and came back and he did the Ultra Trail as his first ever trail race. Another individual, she lost her dad to a rare form of brain cancer and now is using that platform to raise money for it. And then we have, you know, children out there. We had an 8 and 10 year old on a team with their dad who did the entire course at our last event. And it was just amazing to see them out there with their dad. So not everybody has to have this riveting story, but everybody has a story and everybody has something that is special to them that keeps them out there motivated and pursuing that challenge.
So tell us about the next event coming up. The Rib Mountain Adventure Challenge is in May. Is that the next event?
Maybe.
Okay. So stay tuned, right? Yes.
Yeah. So yes, that event is planned. We're hoping maybe to put a few events on between now and then, kind of last minute events. But yes, the Rim Mountain Adventure Challenge, we're very excited to have this year.
And what does it all entail for people who have never participated? What does the Adventure Challenge consist of?
First of all, a load of fun. Like I said, we did the winter event this year, and every single person said they would recommend the event to others. So obviously, that is the first thing that I would say. But from a preparation standpoint, it is typically a team event. We're going to actually we're going to change registration to allow solos this year because of COVID. But usually, it was traditionally teams of 2 to 4. So it is a unique sport in that you have to stick together as a team. You cannot ever be more than 100 feet from your teammates. And during that, you're trekking, running, bushwhacking, whatever you want to do, biking, which might be on-road or off-road, and then you're paddling. And the course changes every year because you're using a map and compass to navigate with your team. And there's special challenges. From our winter event, the special challenge was sledding. We obviously won't be having that in May, but it's something that you may not know until you get there and is a little bit of fun as well. So it's a lot of surprises, and it's appropriately called an adventure race.
Okay. So you actually had sledding as part of the winter race? That's fun. That sounds like a lot of fun. And a huge challenge as well. Are there some other activities in addition to the actual race that you're thinking of? And I realize that much of this may be COVID dependent, but what kinds of things are you thinking about doing?
As far as beyond the event?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one will be focused on the event just because of COVID. We don't want to promote too much gathering. But we would like to, obviously, post-COVID, be able to have more gathering and activities. We have had live music. We've had free beer traditionally at this event, but we need to make sure safety is the first and foremost for our racers, in addition to having a fun event.
Yeah, and actually, Bill, if you can expand on that a little bit, what other events are usually involved in this? You mentioned having music and beer. Is it a big celebration at the end?
Yeah, a number of our events prior to COVID, and we've also looked at collaborative efforts with we own a term called Iron Palooza, which we would the thought would be to incorporate a sports expo and vendors to show their wares and gears, and then in conjunction with the university, health and wellness expo called Iron Point, Point being part of Stevens Point. And so, yeah, you know, we look at once we get past COVID to circle back and have a family fun event and stuff for even the for kids in terms of maybe a ninja course that they can participate in as part of one of the events.
Andrea, I'm curious, for people who are new to extreme adventure sports, how do you suggest they get started training? Do you have any resources you can share?
So first, it would be getting a commitment by signing up for something, because most people need to have a date on the calendar. And then depending on what sport it is, there are some great resources on the internet. I'm certainly could talk to someone all day about sports, so I'm happy to help and guide people. And so we do have our race directors doing a introduction to adventure racing through UWSP to get ready for the next race. There's a lot of resources that they can direct people to. And then I've led an intro to trail running course through UWSP. And so, yeah, it's a matter of what event we're talking about, because obviously there's specificity to each event. But I will say that don't be scared of trying a new event. Don't be intimidated. Almost half of the people that signed up for our January race, middle winter, were first-time adventure racers. And so there's no better day than today to say, I'm going to try this.
Are you finding that some of the volunteers who sign up then eventually participate in the races as well? Do they kind of catch that fever, so to speak?
Yeah, so we've had a number of racer or volunteers say that they kind of wanted to kind of see what the event was like before actually committing to it. And so that's awesome to see. Now, that being said, it's a little bittersweet because some of them have been fantastic volunteers and now we'll have to fill some big shoes. But it is awesome to see that people coming back again and again, and maybe they're a runner that volunteers for the bike race. And then we actually had one volunteer that he raced the run. His family volunteered at the run. He volunteered with his family at the bike race, and now he signed up for his first ever bike race.
Wow. So where can people go to learn more, to sign up, to volunteer? What's the website?
The website is ironbull.org. We also have a very active social media platform, particularly through Facebook. And we have a lot of resources there as well.
Sounds good. We will include a link to ironbull.org on our website with the archive of today's program at wpr.org/route51.
I'm undefeated.
That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, Andrea Larson and Bill Bertram from Iron Bull. Our producer is Joy Ratch-Kramer. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Rick is also our on-air producer today. Special music from Skillet, and thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll welcome guest host Dean Kallenbach for a look at the wolf hunt in north central Wisconsin. And in 2 weeks, I'll be back for a discussion on a unique guaranteed income program proposal for Wausau, the first of its kind in the state. Until then, we're heading out of town. This time, I came to-